This is Radio Health Journal. I'm Nancy Benson. This week, what medical symptoms really mean and why we often overreact to them.
It's very easy to fall into the rabbit hole where you start off with a relatively benign symptom and you end up freaked out that you have some horrible disease.
Deciding how serious symptoms may be when Radio Health Journal returns.
I'm Reed Pence, the producer and host of Radio Health Journal. If you like listening to Radio Health Journal, you'll also like our sister show, Viewpoints, which covers a wide array of topics, from education to history to the environment. Here's a preview of what they're covering this week on Viewpoints.
I had to learn to do that for myself, too, to give myself some grace and flexibility. I'm normally very hard on myself as an educator.
The lessons learned as students and teachers head back into the classrooms once again. Then
it's a spectrum like anything. I mean, people try to differentiate low carb and keto, and they're really sort of the same. It depends on how low you keep your carbs and whether you're in ketosis or not.
The conversation around keto. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
Listen to Radio Health Journal and Viewpoints on your favorite radio station. And subscribe and listen anytime on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Also, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Radio Health Journal.
Just about everyone knows somebody who seems like a hypochondriac. They complain about aches and pains, and they're always looking up diseases on the internet. But then, these days, there may not be much difference between hypochondria and simply being cautious. Diseases and other symptoms are among the most popular Google searches.
Most of us want to be appropriately cautious. I think there's so much information out there, and it's just so hard for all of us to be able to differentiate which is misinformation and which is actually good advice. I think it's put it this way, I hope all my family members are a bit of hypochondriacs. That way they don't allow symptoms to take over and then we don't hear from them.
So Dr. Mark Eisenberg, Associate Professor of Medicine at Columbia University, says it's not necessarily a bad thing to be concerned about your health when you have a pain that just won't go away. But panic? That's something else entirely. And the internet is making it entirely too easy to imagine the worst.
We are living in an era where there's information around you all the time, everywhere, and it's just a few taps away.
That's Raleigh, North Carolina cardiologist Dr. Christopher Kelly.
People for all time, of course, have been experiencing new symptoms and for all time, of course, have been stressing out about them. But until relatively recently, the only thing that you could really do about it was seek out the advice of a doctor, whether through a friend or family member or at your actual doctor's office. Now, of course, you can Google anything and get information. The problem, though, is that the information is not always in your best interest. Sometimes you look up a symptom and you end up on a website that's trying to sell you something or that's trying to keep you clicking so that they can show you more ads. And it's very easy to fall into the rabbit hole where you start off with a relatively benign symptom and you end up freaked out that you have some horrible disease. And I think that is new and something that doctors are encountering more and more.
During the pandemic, it became obvious that misinformation about health, often intentional, is rampant on the internet. Even some websites that at first glance look trustworthy may not be. That's why Eisenberg says it's really important to consider the source.
I think you're absolutely right. I think it's with all aspects of medical care and health care and nutrition. You go online or you start to read about what's the best diet, but it's always important for you to see where it's coming from and who the actual person is who's giving the advice.
That's why Kelly and Eisenberg have co-authored a book designed to tell you what you need to know and not induce panic. It's called Am I Dying? A Complete Guide to Your Symptoms and What to Do Next. The title reflects the panic many people have over the slightest symptom and the way that websites almost always say that any symptom could be cancer.
There's a lot of websites out there that are very, very large, produce a lot of information very often, and those websites depend on advertising revenue to survive, and I think that their goal is to keep you reading, to keep you clicking, and in order to do that, they have to put in front of you the worst possible outcome so that you think, oh, I need to read more about this, and just keep going further and further in. People joke about reaching the end of the internet. I think that if you're looking up a symptom online, you can get there very quickly because they'll sort of rapidly take you deeper into concern.
But how about liability? Can't a website get in trouble for giving people medical advice? Eisenberg says that may be one reason websites always tell you the worst possible diagnosis.
Well, I think liability, it would be irresponsible for any site or anyone over the phone without actually examining a patient to, you know, if someone comes in with a headache, it would be irresponsible for them not to tell people what can be the most severe aspect of it, when you really should worry.
I think there's a key difference here between possible and probable, right? So, yes, you have a headache. It could be brain cancer, but it's probably not the explanation. And I think that online resources don't always do a great job of guiding people towards what's likely and away from what's unlikely. And what we tried to do in our book is take a sort of a more sober approach to things for every symptom, very systematically talking about the features that should make you worried and the features that should make you feel reassured.
So what symptoms should make patients sit up and take notice?
If you're having crushing chest pain, especially associated with some nausea and vomiting in that sense, or shortness of breath and dizziness, and it's lasting more than 5 minutes, you really should call 911. Other symptoms that are people kind of ignore is when you have a sudden onset of weakness or numbness in a part of your body, particularly one half of your body, and especially associated with some slurred speech. I mean, you could be having a stroke, and that's something you shouldn't be waiting on.
But it's not just patients who've been changed forever thanks to what they can find on the internet. Doctors also have to cope with well-informed patients, and also with those who have just enough knowledge to be dangerous.
I think that when internet health information was still relatively new, it irritated doctors when patients would come in with a lot of ideas about what they had, because it was obviously a major change from the way things were before, where doctors had all the information. I think now people understand and expect that patients are going to research their symptoms through a variety of means. And as Mark says, that's appropriate. I mean, we want patients to be in tune with their bodies. It's normal to be a little anxious when you have a new symptom. And it's normal whenever you have questions or uncertainties to try to find information about it. So it's okay. It's expected and it's appropriate.
Mark Eisenberg and Christopher Kelly's book, Am I Dying?, is available now. You can find out more about it and about all our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. Our studio producer is Jason Dickey. I'm Nancy Benson.
Radio Health Journal returns in just a moment.
The number of people with dementia worldwide will nearly triple by the year 2050 to more than 150 million. The new data presented at the Alzheimer's Association International Conference 2021 shows fastest dementia growth in Africa and the Middle East. Dr. Maria Carrillo is Chief Science Officer at the Alzheimer's Association.
Positive trends in education levels are helping to dampen the increase in dementia, but total numbers are still going up because of the aging of the population, as well as the influence of more obesity, diabetes, and sedentary lifestyles that are all risk factors for dementia.
Another study reported at the conference finds wide differences in the Alzheimer's mortality burden in the United States. In the rural South, the Alzheimer's death rate is 3 times higher than the mid-Atlantic region. Researchers say this could be the result of health disparities, including differing access to primary care and other health services. Find out more at ALZ.org.
And that's Radio Health Journal for this week. Radio Health Journal is a production of MediaTrax Communications. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more. And check Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify for a library of past programs. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and information about our guests at radiohealthjournal.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Radio Health Journal.
Coming up next week on Radio Health Journal.
Our hand, you know, pushing that plunger and ending that life, it can cause a great deal of distress.
Compassion fatigue and the many other stresses that raise the risk of suicide among veterinarians.
Then how some parents are accidentally dislocating their children's elbows.
You can never rapidly pull on a child's wrist, even if they're doing the most fun move in the world when you're swinging them around by the wrist.
All that and more on Radio Health Journal.